the opportunity of getting to come and looking forward to it. I had originally planned to try to be with you yesterday, but guess what? I'm pastoring a church now. And so I couldn't hardly get away. I had a thing or two that popped itself up, and I needed to be there yesterday, but I'm glad I got to be here today. Since being here, it's been about 2 years ago, I think it was, and I was traveling and preaching. Since that time, the Lord has directed me and spoken to me. I was traveling almost every day, preaching a lot. I think in 2014, I preached, I know, a little over 200 times in that 1 year. And I'm getting old. Getting a little older, I should say. And I began to pray. The Lord opened the door. I took a little church, a little small church. It's not a large church. Felt led of the Lord to do that. I'm a mountain boy. I'm from the mountains anyway of Western North Carolina. And the Lord opened this door. And in fact, the church kind of come after me. They didn't think that I would come. But they said, we want to take a chance and see if you will. And so it worked out, and the Lord just opened the door, and as of March of 2016, went to the West Burnsville Church of God to pastors just north of Asheville. How many know where Asheville is? Amen. How many know that's 6 hours from here? I learned that today. I was used to coming down here in about 4 hours, and then it dawned on me I'm a little further away up the road. But that's where we are, me and my wife, and all my kids are married, and they just come to see us when they got time. You know how that goes. But we're there, and the Lord is blessing us tremendously. We're enjoying the blessings of the Lord. It's a full-time pastorate. I'm able to pastor it full-time. It's good people that love God, worship God, shout the house down, and love to have church. And I'm just enjoying what the Lord is doing with us there. In a building that'll seat about 175 to 180 when it's packed out. About 4 weeks ago, we had 140. So we're searching for breathing room right now. But God is blessing us, and He is helping us, and I thank God for that, and believe that He's got great things in store. I still like to get out and just preach a little bit and travel. I don't go to every invitation because, you know, you just can't do that as a pastor. But it's just some places, kind of like this one here, you just can't say no to. And so I'm thankful to be here tonight with you and through Wednesday night, Lord willing, and just believe that He's going to touch us in a wonderful way. And again, thank you for being here. And I hope that you will be blessed of the Lord. Did you come to worship Him tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, now I just come to worship. Praise the Lord. And if you don't want to shout, just enjoy watching me. Amen. Praise God. But we're going to have some church, I believe, in this house tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know your speaker that you had last night. I saw it advertised out there. In fact, I had him one time before. He was with me at another place. And I know you enjoyed having him around. He's got a lot of energy. He's a little young, short guy. Got a lot of energy. Can't understand what he says. How many know I know him now? Am I not right? He's hard to understand. He's got a lot of energy, man. And tell you what, when I first time I met him, I thought, man, there's got to be a button on this thing somewhere. You can just cut him off, slow him down. But I know you enjoyed having him. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? We're going to go to the Word of the Lord. Over in the book of the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 3, if you will turn there with me, please. I appreciate the song you just sang. What you don't realize is God just kind of confirming His word, so I feel even better from that song to this pulpit. I feel pretty good about what I believe God wants to say to us in this house tonight. I mean, isn't that wonderful that God does things like that? Man, He just confirms His word in wonderful ways. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 3, I want to begin reading with verse number 1. Yeah, and since I was here last, I've had to get help seeing. So, that comes along with getting a little wiser, I guess. So I'll take them on and off. I have to see them to read. But when I try to look out there, I don't know if they're working or not. I tried to tell my wife the Lord had healed me since I'd got these things, because I didn't feel like I needed them, but then I guess I do. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, the Lord speaking here, draw not nigh hither. In other words, don't come any closer just yet. That's how I seem to be reading this. But he says, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. It is these familiar words that most of us probably have committed to our memory. We know it by heart, where God said to Moses in verse 5, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I want to preach on bare feet tonight. I want to talk about barefooted. Now just look at your neighbor and say, that sounds crazy. It probably does on the surface. But I want to talk about barefootedness, bare feet. I know we've prayed, but I don't think we can pray too much. Will you pray with me right now? Father, in Jesus' name, I stand behind this sacred desk on the balcony of God tonight with an awesome responsibility, Lord, to handle your word before your most precious people. Father, as I have prayed today and this afternoon after getting here, God, I have told you and I'm convinced more now that I can't do this without you and without your help. And I pray for the next few moments, Lord, that you will touch me and enable me, Lord, through the power of the good Holy Ghost tonight, to preach this word that you've laid on my heart for this service here tonight. Let me speak to your people, Lord, the oracles of God. Anoint it and let me say it the way you would have it said, no more and no less than you would be pleased with tonight. Lord, work during your word, work around this altar tonight, work in this congregation, move as you see fit. And Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. During Jesus' day, and even in Old Testament times, it was not an uncommon thing for people to be seen barefooted. In fact, people in Bible days wore sandals when the rigors of a trip called for it. The way of communing in the Bible days most of the time was walking. So when the rigor of the trip was rough terrain, they would wear sandals. But when they would get home, they would take off their shoes. At the door, they would wash their feet, and they'd walk around the house barefooted. It would seem to me that God has a certain affinity for feet. He designed us with those things, and what a delicate and intricate design that the feet really are. The foot is an integral part of the human anatomy. It is designed both for strength and for flexibility. A little bit of study reveals that each foot is made up of 26 bones, which together account for about 1/4 of all the bones that are in the entire body. These bones are held together by 33 joints, and there's 100 ligaments per foot in each foot. The average person, I am told, now you decide if you're average or not, but the average person, I am told, takes between 8,000 and 10,000 steps a day. Some days I'm not average. Some days maybe more. But with each step that the human body takes, with gravity factored in as they walk, amounts to the pressure equivalent to 3 to 4 times the body's weight. When the Bible says that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made, I believe it's the truth. Amen. For indeed we are fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord. The Bible has much to say about feet. The word feet occurs 256 times in the word of the Lord. Another word, foot, it shows up another 95 times in the word of the Lord. The Bible tells us that Jesus had his feet anointed with precious oil. On another occasion, there was a woman that came in the house and anointed the feet of Jesus with her tears from her eyes. For she was a woman that had been forgiven of many sins, and she saw an opportunity to worship the Lord, and that's how she worshiped him. The Bible also declares that how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Scripture reveals that not long before the crucifixion of Jesus, he met with his disciples in a room, and there he girded himself with a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. The Apostle Paul tells us that God has promised to bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. The Bible has much to say about feet. Now, while a quarter of people, of all people that were polled, said their feet was the ugliest part of their body, the Bible tells us that God loves our feet. And if he loves the lowest and the least part, don't you know he loves the whole package? Amen? So the next time you think God doesn't love you, I want you to look down at your feet. If he loves those things, he loves you. That's all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many know that he loves you tonight? In this text that I have read tonight, Moses was simply minding his own business, if you please. He was just simply going about and doing what he had been doing for about 40 years. And the Bible said that he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And he led them, the Bible says, to the backside of the desert. Now, Moses had made this trip many times before. In fact, I believe that Moses had made this trip so much that he could do it blindfolded. He knew wherever little curve was in the trail or the path, he could tell because he had done it so many times before. But the Bible said on this particular occasion, something tremendous happens. It's a day like no other day that Moses has ever had in his life. He leads them to the backside of the desert. Now, I looked at the word backside. I wondered, you know, is there any significance there? And I learned from the Hebrew that the backside means the back of the back, or the lowest of the low. You would get a picture of it being a place that is just as far as you can go. There's nowhere else to go. That's it. I mean, the backside of the desert is where he takes these sheep. But while he is there on the backside of the desert, the back of the back and the lowest of the low, the bottom of the bottom, you get the picture? While Moses is there, something happens. The Bible says that God sets a bush on fire. Amen. Now, it's not an uncommon thing for a bush in a desert to burn. I mean, the desert is a hot place, and just the fact that a bush is burning is not really an uncommon thing. The heat and the refraction from the sun off the sand onto those dry shrubs could easily create a spontaneous combustion, and bushes probably burned in the desert all the time. But there was something different about this fire. There was something different about this bush. The Bible said that this bush burned, but it wasn't consumed. This is not an ordinary burning bush. Amen. This is not anything the S-U-N has caused. This is something the S-O-N has caused. Amen. God has set this bush on fire, and it's burning, but it's not consumed. Now, the Bible says that it catches Moses' attention. He looks and he sees that this bush is burning, but he notices that the fire is not having any effect on the bush at all. It's not being consumed by the fire. It's not becoming ashes. It's not going away. It's just a bush that is on fire, and it catches Moses' attention. And the Bible says that when Moses sees this, he turns toward this bush. The Bible uses the term here that he turns aside. You see, it's amazing sometimes how God can use things just to get us to turn aside, just to get us to turn away from business as usual, because he has something that he wants to say to us. And Moses turns aside, and if you read this and get the picture of this story, Moses begins to walk toward that bush that is on fire. He begins to move himself in the direction of that burning bush. And as he gets closer and closer and closer to that burning bush, there is a point where God speaks to Moses and he gives to him these words. And he says to him, "Don't come any closer." But then he tells him to do something. He says, "Take off your shoes, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Now, it's almost like God is saying to him, before you come any closer, stop right here. But before you come any closer, I want you to take your shoes off, because you are standing on holy ground. Isn't it amazing that at the back of the back, the lowest of the low, when you've gone as far as you can go, and you have to reach up to touch the bottom, and it feels like life is just over and nothing good could ever happen anymore. Anybody ever been at the back of the back on the backside of the desert and felt like that? Isn't it amazing that God can show up in that kind of place and turn it into holy ground? Isn't it amazing that God can show up and say, "This is now my home, and I want you to come in"? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody help me in this house. Isn't it amazing that when you think it's all over and there's no hope and there's no help, and you think that, life as you've known it has come to a close, all of a sudden God just shows up at the lowest of your low, at the back of the back, and he says, "I have now turned this into my house. This is now holy ground, and I want you to come into my presence. But before you do, I want you to take your shoes off." God says to Moses, "I want you to come a little closer, but you got to do it barefoot." Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Moses thought he was just coming to see a fire, but God was about to call Moses to a mission. Some folk come to church just to see a fire, but I'm telling you something, it's more than just a fire. God has drawn you to the house of God and into his presence because he wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you something. He has a mission for you to do. God told Moses, "Take off your shoes." In other words, if you're going to approach me, I want you to come to me barefooted. I want to talk about that for a few minutes. I want to talk about Moses being barefoot here. I'm one of those kind of people. It's just me. It's always been me. I can't help it. I'm one of these kind of people who have to sometimes dissect something and analyze it a little bit, because I kind of want to know why things are the way they are. Amen. I just have to know sometimes. And such is the case with me in this story. I'm interested. I'm curious. Why did God tell Moses to take off his shoes? I mean, to me, that seems one of the most impeculiar things that God could ever ask anybody to do. I mean, it doesn't, with natural eyes, it doesn't make sense. in our natural way of thinking. We can't put that together. I mean, it's just, why couldn't God have just had him do something else? Why didn't God just say, fall on your knees before me? Why didn't God just say, lift your hands, Moses? Why, or something like that. But instead, God tells Moses to take his shoes off. Why is that so important? I guess there's many answers to this. You've probably heard this. This is not the first time you've ever heard this passage of Scripture preached. And I'm sure that there's many, many answers to this question. But as I begin to think about it and begin to study about it, because I was curious as to why the Lord might have asked Moses to do such a thing. And then I got to thinking there's got to be a message in that for some reason. And there's about three or four things the Lord just seemed to drop into my spirit. Don't know if it'll make any sense to you or not, but I'm going to enjoy preaching it to you tonight. And the first thing that come to my mind is simply this: shoes are dirty. Amen. Now, the top of your shoes may look nice, but you turn them over, they're dirty. They're dirty because of where they've been. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. Some of you catching on where I'm headed with this already. Amen. Shoes are dirty. Shoes are unclean. The Oriental custom was never to wear your shoes in somebody's home. Instead, you were to leave them at the door. God was telling Moses right there in the desert, Moses, you thought that you were just on the backside of the desert to take a break. But I have turned this into holy ground. I have made this my house. I have made this my home. And now I'm giving you an invitation to walk through the door into my presence. But I don't want you to come through until you take the dirty shoes off of your feet. Hear me tonight, friend. The first thing that I want to say to you about barefootedness and about barefoot praise, if you please, is that that's not ordinary praise. It's a praise and it's a worship that has passed beyond the door and has entered into the secret place of the Almighty. Listen, God was saying to Moses, you're just on the edge of my presence and you're just on the edge of my glory, but I want you to come into my presence. I have turned this into holy ground and I want you to take off your shoes. You see, those shoes that Moses wore, those sandals that Moses wore, can you imagine from all of that walking and all of that traveling, what had attached itself to his shoes? I mean, you can only imagine dirt. He's leading a sheep of flock. You can only imagine what he probably has walked through and all the dirty contamination that had attached itself to his shoes. And God was saying, you're about to step into a holy presence and you can't do it dirty. I want you to come clean before me. I want you to step on holy ground as a clean man. Don't drag that dirt into my presence. Don't drag that mess into my presence. Moses, I'm about to touch you. I'm about to do something for you, but you've got to come clean before me. You see, when I think about that, there's got to be a message for us in the church today. God's calling the church to come clean before him. We try to worship him with things that have attached itself to our lives, and we bring it into his presence, and we try to sing with dirty shoes. We try to preach with dirty shoes. We try to worship with dirty shoes. When God is saying, take off your shoes, separate yourself from everything that has attached itself to you and come before me in my presence. Can I tell you, we serve a holy God? Can I tell you, we serve a God of purity? Can I tell you that we serve a God tonight who is calling us to come clean before him? Stop living like a hypocrite. Just take off the dirty shoes and say, God, I want your presence and I want your power and I want your touch in my life. Come on and praise him in this house tonight. Hallelujah. God was saying to Moses, don't come into my presence acting like everything's all right when I know it's not. Take off your shoes. You know, we don't like to hear a whole lot about God's sanctifying power anymore. It's become a strange doctrine to many folks in the Pentecostal church. But God is still calling us to come clean before him. Amen. Come clean before him. Take off your shoes, Moses. You're standing on holy ground. But it gets a little better. As I got thinking about this thing, shoes serve as a barrier, and it protects the feet from feeling. Come on. It becomes something between your foot and the ground, and you're able at times to walk over difficult places and not even feel anything. But I want to just kind of put a little turn on that here, because I think there's something here from the Lord He wants us to get. God was saying to Moses, or could it have been, that God was saying to Moses, I want you to take off your shoes because I don't want anything to keep you from feeling what I want you to feel. Oh, God. Could it have been that God was saying, I don't want any barrier to come between you and keep you from feeling what I want you to feel. I looked at this story. I want you to look at this story. You understand that Moses seen the fire. You understand that Moses heard the call of the voice of God. But do you understand that God is wanting Moses to experience something above and beyond just seeing and hearing? Oh, my Lord. You understand that God's wanting Moses to feel something. Oh, is anybody in the house tonight with me? God is wanting Moses to feel something here. Do you know that we've got a house full of people in church today that have seen it all? They've seen the glory of the Lord. Some will testify to seeing the glory cloud. We've got a house full of people in church today that have heard the word. They've heard the voice of God. But here's the sad thing. Here's what troubles me in the church today. While we've got a lot of people that have seen, we've got a lot of people that have heard, we don't have a whole lot of people feeling anything today. You ask most people how your church service was, and they'll tell you, well, the choir sounded good, the preacher sounded all right. And that's about all they say. You don't hear anybody talking about it felt good in there anymore. Now, come on, don't sit down on me tonight. Help me preach this. You don't hear many folks talking about that old time, heaven sent, prayed down, Holy Ghost feeling. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you know what? We've got to get back to the place in the church. We've got to get back on our face before God. And I want you to hear me tonight. It's got to be more than something we see and more than something we hear. We've got to get back to where we have that service again that we feel something. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we've got a God that we can feel. Yeah, I've seen Him work. I've seen His handiwork. I've heard His voice. But I'm glad I can stand here tonight and you along with me. And I'm glad there's still some of us that can say we have also felt His power and felt His glory. But I'm telling you, if we're not very careful, there are things that can become a barrier between us and our feeling what God wants us to feel. God wanted Moses to walk away from that place having felt His touch and having felt His glory and having felt His power. I didn't come down here tonight just to be heard. I didn't come down here tonight just to be seen. I'm not standing up here tonight just so you can look at me and hear me say something to you. I'm here because I want to feel something. I want you to feel something tonight. I want you to know this ain't no ordinary church service. This is God's house. This is God's home. He has turned this into holy ground. And He's telling me and you, take away anything that comes between you and being able to feel my glory and feel my presence. I want you to walk out of here in a little while testifying to the fact I felt God in that house tonight. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. We've got to become a church again that feels God's presence. I couldn't tell you what the preacher even preached when I got saved. I don't even know if he preached or not. I don't even remember. I can't really stand here and tell you anything I saw. Remember where I was? If you want to know about the moment I got saved, I can sure tell you how it felt. I can tell you how it felt. It felt like a world of burdens rolled off of my shoulder. Hallelujah. Does anybody remember that feeling? Do you remember how it felt when the Lord saved you? Do you remember how it felt when He sanctified you? Do you remember how it felt when He baptized you in the Holy Ghost and you spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance? Does anybody still have that old-fashioned feeling? Hallelujah. I don't remember what was sung. I don't remember what was said. All I remember is the joy of the Lord fill my soul. And I remember that feeling. Hallelujah. There was a fire in my belly. There was a joy in my heart. Hallelujah. Like I had never felt before. I'm afraid we have got to the place in the church of God where we've lost that feeling. All we have is stories of how the glory used to fall. All we have is the stories like we've seen the saints of God run and shout, and I have too, and I praise the Lord for that. We have stories just that say, I can remember Brother so-and-so how he used to preach. I've heard him preach, but my fear is we've lost that old-fashioned feeling that comes from being in the presence of God. But I believe there's a clarion call from God to the church today, and He's saying, I'm still your God. This is still my church. I still can turn your situation around into holy ground. And I believe God is calling His people to stand on holy ground and feel His power and feel His touch and feel His glory again. God, give us back the feeling. My God. We've got to be a church where people will say, I come in with a hurt, but I left with a healing touch because I felt it. My Lord, do you remember that woman that pressed her way through the crowd and touched Jesus? Amen. How many of you know that story? I didn't know I was going here. This makes good sense, though, to me. She pressed her way through that crowd, and she touched the hem of His garment. I want you to look at that story again when you get time. It doesn't say that she said anything about what Jesus said. It doesn't say that she didn't give any recognition to those that were in the crowd. She didn't call anybody's name in the crowd. But the Bible said that when she touched the hem of His garment, she felt. Somebody say felt. My God. She felt in her body that she was healed. She felt the divine virtue come from Jesus and flow into her, and immediately she felt that she was made whole. Can I tell you, she's not the only one that felt it. Jesus Himself felt it. There's a mutual feeling that happens when you touch the Master. When you touch Him, He feels it, and when He touches you, you feel it. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm interested in feeling the touch of the Master's hand on my life. I'm interested in having a revival around here where we can walk away from here and say, I felt the power of God in that house like I've never felt before. Does anybody, are you hungry for that old-fashioned feeling again? Jesus. So could it have been that God said, just Take your shoes off because I don't want anything to come between you and your feeling my glory. It's like God must have been saying to Moses, I don't want you to walk away from here with just a story that you saw a fire and heard a voice. I don't know if I'm hipping anybody or not, but I'm telling you, I feel this thing in my heart. God wasn't wanting Moses to walk away from there with just a story to say, you won't believe what I saw. Or just a story of, I heard God speak from the fire, but God was interested in Moses walking away from there having felt something. I want to tell you, God can still be felt. He's not a dead God. I said, He's not a dead God. He's not a dead God. He can still be felt. You can feel Him at church. You can feel Him on your job. You can feel Him in the nursing home. You can, my God, you can feel Him in the funeral home. God can be felt. Take off your shoes, Moses. Come clean before me. Get rid of any barriers, Moses, because I want you to feel something out of this. My God. But, you know, I thought about something else. And catch how I'm going to say this so I don't lose you. With shoes on, it's a whole lot easier to run. Does that make sense, brother? With shoes on, it's a whole lot easier to cut out of there and get away. With shoes on, it's easier to be in a hurry. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. I know it's Monday night, but I can't rush now because I'll contradict what I'm fixing to preach. With shoes on, it would have been easy for Moses just to have gotten away. But it's like God said to him, why don't you take your shoes off and stay a little while? Not only do I want you to feel this thing, I want you to linger in it for just a little while. I believe God knew if Moses hadn't took his shoes off, he'd have took off running. And look what he would have missed if he'd have run from what God was wanting to do in his life. Brother Jethro, you've been doing this a whole lot longer than I have. You could certainly preach this better than I'm doing tonight, but I think you would agree with me. It seems like here lately we get in too big a hurry when it comes to worshiping God. It would seem to me in the church today that we have tried to box God up in a little box or a time frame, and we'll say, all right, God, you've got 2 hours on Sunday morning. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. We'll be here at 10, but Lord, we're leaving at 12 because we got to hit the buffet and watch the ball game. Hello, somebody help me here. Don't hang me out to dry down here all by myself. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? And God, we'll check back in at 6 o'clock or 6:30, and we'll give you an hour and a half, but whatever you're going to do, you're going to have to get it done because we won't come in there with our shoes on and we're cutting out of there in an hour and a half. I thought I was almost done. I'm feeling something heavier than, I don't know what, about to hit me right now. Come on. And Lord, if we ain't too tired, we'll show up on Wednesday night, but we cannot go past an hour on Wednesday night. You got to get done what you're going to get done. And we come on Wednesday night with our shoes on so we can run in an hour. My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I'm telling you, I believe that God is calling the church to come back to His house and take your shoes off.
Come on. I believe God is wanting us to have another Sunday morning service with our shoes off. Am I making sense to anybody in this house? I believe that God wants us to have Sunday school with our shoes off. Don't ring the bell at 10:45. If God wants to move, let God move. Take your shoes off and hang around a while. Amen. Don't cut the preacher off. Don't shut the preacher down at 2 minutes till 12. Take your shoes off and let God do something. God had you show up here because he wants you to feel something. He wants you to feel his power and feel his glory. Come back on Sunday night, take your shoes off at the door and say, God, if you want to keep us here till 2 o'clock in the morning, I ain't running. I'm here to stay. God, give us somebody who will linger in his presence. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, on the day of Pentecost, they went to the upper room with their shoes off. Come on. 10 days they stayed in the upper room, praising, praying, worshiping, and seeking God in one mind and with one accord. Can you imagine 10 days with one accord? Can you imagine 10 days with their shoes off? They didn't run in the upper room and say, God, now you feel me in the next 30 minutes because I got to go do something else. They tarried until. I said they tarried until. And can I tell you, they come out of the upper room with more than a story. We've seen the fire. They come out with more than a story. We've heard from heaven. They come out of there with an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, prayed-down, Holy Ghost feeling that turned the world upside down. Peter preached with his shoes off, and 3,000 souls got saved and born into the kingdom of God. The early church, read the book of Acts. They were a church with their shoes off. Hallelujah. They were never in a hurry, but they tarried and lingered in the presence of Almighty God until they heard from heaven. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and just praise him? He's in this house. He's in this house. But God had Moses. In a place. And in a position that he could not so easily run away. God, forgive us for being in such a hurry. God, forgive us for placing our agendas above your purpose. Is anybody hearing me tonight? A lot easier to run with your shoes on, but God said take them off because this is going to take a little while. Now, I know I'm preaching symbolically here tonight, and you get that. You know what I mean by worshiping with your shoes off. I'm not saying you got to kick your shoes off and worship. There ain't nothing wrong with that, but you know I'm preaching symbolically here. But let me step aside from symbolic and take something literal for just a moment. I can see Moses' shoes, sandals. I can see where he has removed himself from them. And barefooted, he has stepped over into the presence of God. And he's standing on holy ground. Now I want to show you one more thing that I believe the Lord just kind of gave this to me. You do understand. Moses got his shoes off now.
He's on holy ground. God's made the back of the desert his home. And he said, this is my place now, Moses, and I'm inviting you to come in. And he stepped through the door, and he's on holy ground. And you understand what he heard from God on holy ground was life-changing. God tells Moses with his shoes right here behind him, he's standing here before God, and God tells Moses, he says, Moses, I've seen the affliction of my people. He says, Moses, I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. He said, Moses, I know their sorrows. And he said, Moses, I've come down to deliver them. And he lets Moses know, you're part of that deliverance. My God. Aren't you glad God sees? Aren't you glad God hears? Aren't you glad God knows? And aren't you glad he's come down to deliver? Woo! Woo, hallelujah. I'm glad he not only sees and hears and knows, but I'm glad he's come down to deliver. But could it have been that God had Moses get out of his shoes? Probably for every other reason I preach tonight, I feel so good about it, I believe it's the truth. Because there's no doubt about it that at some point Moses is going to slip back into those shoes. Right? You believe that? He is. He's going to slip his feet back into those shoes. But could it have been that God asking him to get out of those shoes was Moses' way of making room for God to get in them? Because you see, sometimes God can't get in our lives because we won't get us out of the way. Oh, y'all don't want me to go there, do you? But you understand that God was about to send Moses places he had never been before. God, through Moses, was about to do things that he had never done before. He was about to see and accomplish things that he had never seen and accomplished before, but he couldn't do it in his shoes by himself. So I believe that God said, you get out of them so I can get in them. And I believe when Moses put his feet back in his shoes, he felt the presence of another man walking with him. Hallelujah. I found out that the biggest problem God has with me is me. God has a job sometimes getting the me worked out of me. Amen. But when I get myself out of the way, he can get in the way. Praise the Lord. I don't care what size shoe you wear, God can wear it. It'll fit. Amen. I don't care if it's an 8, 10, or a 15. You take them off and let God in there. And I'm telling you, when God gets in your shoes, you will sense that the presence of another man is walking with you. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, he walks with me and he talks with me all along life's narrow way. Praise God. Listen to me tonight, church. We need to come back to where we're willing to take our shoes off and stand barefooted before God, come clean before him, remove the barriers that would hinder us from feeling his touch. God's more interested in us feeling this thing than he is anything. Amen. And God wants us to be willing to linger in his presence, not be in such a hurry, not put time restraints on him. And God says, if you'll get out of those shoes, I'll get in them with you. I'm telling you, God is going to do something for a church that will worship him and praise him barefooted. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. So here it is. Will you come to the music, please, sister? Here's the deal. Here it is. After me studying this, preaching this, mulling over this, And after God pouring this stuff into my spirit, I've come to the conclusion about me. This is the conclusion I have come to. I think sometimes I'm trying to preach with my shoes on. I don't want to point fingers, and I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm not going to place blame on anybody anywhere, but can I just ask a question to provoke thought? That's all that's behind what I'm fixing to say. I just want to provoke thought. And that is this. Are we singing with our shoes on? Sunday school teacher, are you teaching your class with your shoes on? Children's church pastor, director, whatever. Are you teaching or preaching to those kids with your shoes on? Are we leading our youth today with our shoes on? And I've been asking myself the question, am I standing before my congregation with my shoes on? Or am I barefooted? A little different tonight, Pastor, but this is what I really felt from God to bring to this house tonight. Am I standing before them on a Sunday morning and on a Sunday night and on a Wednesday night with my shoes on? Or have I accepted the opportunity from God and have I stood in His presence barefooted on holy ground? I believe there is a difference, ladies and gentlemen. I really believe there is a difference in worshiping God with our shoes on and being barefooted in His presence. I've had problems in my life just like anybody else have. I've had situations in my life just like everybody else has. Had difficult circumstances and moments in my life like everybody else has. We all have. But God has helped me just through this sermon, through this study of this sermon, to realize that problems and situations and circumstances are things and stuff. Somebody say stuff. It's stuff that attaches itself to me and you. The devil will make sure that stuff sticks to us on our journey with God. And I've learned that God has come right where I am and right where you are, and He says, I've turned this into holy ground, and all I'm asking you to do is shake yourself loose from the stuff and stand before me barefooted and feel my glory and feel my touch. Hallelujah. You believe God's in this house tonight? Hallelujah. He's in this house tonight. Hallelujah.
We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Do you know it? Will you sing it? We